Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Standing Room Only podcast. Yes, I'm your host, Ben Standick. I cover the Washington Commanders for The Athletic. It's Wednesday, late afternoon, early evening here in the DMV. Hope everyone is doing well. We are tomorrow. It'll be 2 weeks officially before we get to the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. We're all still pondering Jaden Daniels, Drake May, JJ McCarthy. What else could the Commanders do? And obviously also what's going to happen around the league. If I was going to say to you, name the person in NFL media that you would want to ask some of these questions to, the person who seemingly has the most information out there, you would say probably Adam Schefter with ESPN. Well, good news. Adam Schefter with ESPN was my guest just a few moments ago here on the podcast. And I'm going to get that interview up for you here in just a moment. We discussed, yes, his thoughts on number two. He talked about Jaden Daniels and others on his podcast, the Adam Schefter podcast. Good name for the podcast. So we discussed that. We also discussed, went back in time a little bit here to the head coaching search, because Adam was involved in the sense that he was part of the group saying in advance, hey, don't be so sure it's Ben Johnson. And then after the aftermath saying, hey, Ben Johnson maybe didn't really handle this exactly great, and the reaction to that. So we discussed those things. We talked about Drake May, JJ McCarthy, what the Patriots may do at three, and had some other fun topics as well. So I'm excited to get that to you guys in a moment here on the Standing Room Only podcast. Look, if you're not already a subscriber, and I'm telling you Adam Schefter's on, what can I do? Hit the subscribe button. I appreciate it. You won't miss anything else that we have coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And if you are new to the podcast, just last week, I had on Chris Sims from NBC Sports discussing the quarterbacks. Chris clearly has some thoughts on these players. And I've done a ton of podcasts about how I see the draft, and had other guests as well, mostly from the Commanders' perspective. Of course, they have, you know, as many were saying at this point, the draft essentially starts at two with Washington. So you can go back and check on all those podcasts as well. In addition, make sure you follow me, subscribe to The Athletic. On Thursday, I will have, and I actually said this on the podcast, that wasn't my plan, but Adam asked me a question, which led me to mentioning this, that I have a new poll coming out on Thursday. I spoke with roughly 17 sources, closer to 20 sources around the league, coaches, GMs, scouts, former players, etc., about these quarterbacks, these top six guys, including the ones I've already mentioned, as well, along with Bo Nix and Michael Penix. I wanted their ranking. I wanted their comments, because since the Commanders have been pretty quiet about their intentions here with number two, I got to find it from somewhere else. So asked a lot of people around the league how they view these quarterbacks. That's going to be up tomorrow on The Athletic. I think you will enjoy or appreciate some of the comments in any direction about these quarterbacks. So that's what's going on. Of course, you can also follow me on Twitter at Ben Standig. I don't have a ton else to say right now with the Commanders, in other than, you know, Jaden Daniels has a top 30 visit with Washington. He'll be here Monday night. That's essentially what they'll do, like a dinner Monday night. Tuesday will be the full-blown meeting. If there's any type of on-field workout, we'll see. That's happening with Jaden Daniels. It was reported elsewhere today, and I'm blanking on who had it. Could have been Schefter, but I'm blanking on who had it. Might have been Schefter, in fact, because he brought it up as we were discussing. But Drake May will be the Tuesday-Wednesday guy for Washington. So both of those guys will be in this week, and we'll see about some of the other quarterbacks as well as other prospects. I think next week, from what I gather, should be a pretty busy one as far as visits go. So we'll check on that. You know, again, not a surprise that Daniels and May and others would come in to talk to the Commanders. Of course, you know, this is part of the deal that everybody wants there to be a lock. They want information. They want to know what Adam Peters is thinking. They want a decision. They want to hear who it is that's going to come in, because otherwise we're all stuck in this sort of conversation debate purgatory. Same conversations and debates back and forth. Why you like Daniels, why May is better, why McCarthy shouldn't even be in discussion, or why he should be the pick, and all of these various factors. But Adam Peters has time on his hands. And, you know, one thing to note, of course, is it's been, and I'm going to talk about this later in the week, but it's been, you know, a mystery a bit what happened in San Francisco with regards to Trey Lance, who ultimately made that call. I would think Kyle Shanahan would be the logical play, but I am curious what lessons were learned by Adam Peters in that whole situation, because, and again, it gets brought up here a little bit with Adam, but I can imagine Adam Peters wanting to take his time and go through all the information. And that includes having these meetings with these players. I'm sure they have a pretty good handle at this stage on the player. The person is where they're still learning. So more meetings to come next week and with these quarterbacks. So I think that's obviously going to be something to pay attention to. Speaking of quarterbacks, the Commanders had a local pro day this week. Every team has one all the time. A lot of guys you would imagine, you know, from this DC area or played at a local school. That included Talia Tagovailoa. Of course, Tua's brother went to Maryland. He is looking like he's not going to be drafted, or it's like a seventh rounder, priority free agent, perhaps. I don't necessarily think makes tons of sense for the Commanders. I mean, they could, and it has nothing to do with the number two pick. It's just they have Marcus Mariota. I guess it could be a practice squad guy. What am I saying? You could always have that if it's not Jake Fromm again. So a lot of local guys, he was the biggest name, or at least most recognizable one to me. There was another kid there who I had mentioned in my recent Commanders 2.0 mock draft, Beanie Bishop, cornerback from West Virginia. He ran like a 4.39 40 at the Big 12 Pro Day, had an All-American season at West Virginia. Not the biggest guy, which is why he's probably going to drop somewhere onto late day three. But a name that stood out to me as I was contemplating that Commanders only mock draft, and we get and he happened to be brought in as well for this local pro day. So we'll have more to come this week. I plan on having another podcast at the end of the week, but rather than do my usual bloviating here and just talking about whatever, I'm just going to get to the interview, because Adam Schefter, you know, pretty good guest, I would say. So here we go. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter or X at Adam Schefter. I'm sure you're doing that already. Nonetheless, here's my conversation with ESPN's Adam Schefter here on the Standard Room Only podcast. All right. Very special welcome here to our guest, Adam Schefter, ESPN National Insider, NFL Insider. I don't even know what your official title is, because everybody knows what you are. Adam, I really appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
Official title, Ben, is Dylan's dad.
That's a good title. That's the best the best of titles. Well, I really appreciate this, because obviously it's insanely busy time of year. I introduced myself to you at the NFL owners meeting, but it feels like I already had a relationship with you, because you are in my life every day with Twitter notifications and whatnot. And it led me to think, if you were sort of the top of that pyramid for NFL reporters, what's your deal? Do you have people on notifications, or does that not work for you because your phone's beeping enough already?
I don't set too many notifications. I just kind of try to do my job and worry about myself. And, you know, the job, as you know, is pretty relentless. It's something that we all live, eat, and breathe. And it's just kind of the way that it's done. So that's how it works.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. Obviously people have written a lot of profiles about your work day, so to speak. And it's always interesting. You put out a lot of information, needless to say, in a variety of ways, including on your own podcast, appropriately titled the Adam Schefter Podcast. And last week you talked about signs pointing to Jaden Daniels. And I should put quotes around that, because that's what you said, signs pointing to Daniels. Obviously, yeah. We're all we're all trying to figure out what Washington's plan is. You putting out information makes everybody think, okay, there must be something here. What were the signs that led you to say Jaden Daniels, you think as of now is the call it too?
You know, again, every year there are different things that you hear. Many of them turn out to be right. Some of them don't. And in this particular case, it's just enough conversations you've had with enough people to make me believe that it's tracking towards Jaden Daniels. Now, saying that, we're recording this Wednesday, 4:30, and Jaden Daniels is scheduled to visit next week, and Drake May is scheduled to visit next week. And for all we know, Drake May has a visit that totally wins them over, and they're wowed by him, and Jaden Daniels turns them up. We don't know what's going to happen during these visits. These things are fluid. Just because a team feels like it's going one direction or another doesn't mean that that's where they'll wind up when the draft happens in now 15 days. So, yes, is it tracking towards Jaden Daniels? As I believe it is. That's my belief. And we'll see if that continues to be the case as we get closer to the draft. Again, things could change. Drake May could gain steam. J.J. McCarthy. There's a lot of things that could happen, Ben. Teams change their minds. There have been enough conversations I've had with various teams where they were going to go one way or another, and then there was a change, a shift, and they didn't. So it's all part of the NFL draft machine leading up to the draft and all the things that happen leading up to the draft that make it such a anticipated reality show. So that's kind of where it's at right now.
Yeah, and this year with all the quarterbacks at the top, I think we all seem to have settled in on Caleb Williams going one, and then after that, depending on who you listen to, it could be kind of all over the place. With regards to Drake May, at least it feels like with Jaden Daniels, and I'm with you at the notion of it feels like him at two. Discussion.
So why do you say that? Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? You know, similar to I'm trying to sift through the various people I talk to. Clearly, I'm not talking to as many of you, but I try the best I can. I just did a poll for The Athletic that'll come up tomorrow. I interviewed, or I talked to like 17, 18 people around the league, different jobs, and said, give me your order and go from there. And the flip side, though, and that's what I wanted to ask you, is with Drake May, the polarization on him seems to be substantial. There are people who think he's the second guy. Other people think I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, that they really see a bust factor there more than I hear with, say, Daniels or McCarthy even. What's your sense of that polarization, if you see it that way, with regards to May?
You know, I think none of it means very much to me. Last year, there were a lot of people talking about C.J. Stroud, his testing scores, his character. They worried about him. How'd that work out? The truth of the matter is, teams do as much diligence and work as they can on these prospects. You do the best job you can. And the fact of the matter is, sorry to play spoiler here, not even they know whether the guy is going to hit or not.
Sure.
They're going to do their best to pick what they believe is the best prospect, to put them in the best environment with the best coaching, with the best play calling, and hope like hell that he succeeds. Because if he does, then you've got your quarterback for the next 15 years. Then you've got the benefit of having a quarterback in a rookie contract for 4 years, maybe five, probably not five, but four minimum. And you have a lot of advantages that come along with hitting on the most important position in sports. If you miss, your organization's set back and you start over. But I think that what we've seen now is it almost feels like it's okay to swing at a quarterback and miss and go recalibrate by picking another one. That's more important, I think, than not reaching for one. And I can just point to the year, I think it was 2016, where the Rams traded up for Jared Goff, the Eagles traded up for Carson Wentz. Both organizations have moved off of those respective quarterbacks. Both have gone on to achieve great success since then. Both have flourished. And I think both have proven in the process that it's okay to miss on a quarterback. The 49ers have done the same thing. So I think the key is you just got to keep reaching for that guy. And by the way, the Commanders will take a quarterback this year and you hope that he hits. And if he doesn't, maybe you take another one next year. Again, you just don't know, but you just got to keep swinging at that position until you hit.
And not that there's any sense of really that Washington would trade down. I mean, I think you have to consider everything, but the fact that it's year one for all these guys, for Peters, for Quinn, even for Josh Harris, although I guess he's not firing himself. The fact that, you know, there is almost that time to take the shot, to miss if it doesn't work out, and then even to and then to keep going, versus if you're in year three of your coaching career or GM career, that may be your only shot.
Yeah, well, listen, again, it's a critical pick. And the Commanders have their choice of quarterbacks outside Caleb Williams. So it's time to make it count. And again, I believe it's tracking. That's another way I could phrase it. Tracking to Jaden Daniels. And we'll see whether it shifts before the draft. I reserve the right to change my mind, as sure. Do you, as do the Commanders. And we'll see how that all plays out here on the 3 days in Detroit.
Do you have like a shorthand list of like all the ways you can say these different things, like tracking and all this stuff? Like, do you have like a your own like list to put out there when you, so you're not repeating yourself, or for each possibility?
We just take a lot of notes and we go over the notes and we go from there.
Gotcha. I wanted to ask you this, to go back to the Daniels thing. When you put out what you put out, I knew people had just surely transcribed it. And I went online to find it because I was feeling too lazy at that moment to do it myself. And I found one, and it had the, you know, I'd already listened to it and it had the quotes, but the headline read, Adam Schefter says the Commanders prefer Jaden Daniels over Drake May.
I didn't say that.
100%. So what I was wondering is, because it drives me crazy on the few times it's happens to me, but
it happens to me regularly. Yeah.
So does it drive you crazy, or have you just learned how to compartmentalize it and don't think twice?
Yeah, it is what it is. It just comes with territory. It's aggregators who come up with these things and rephrase things that you don't say and put it in a way you don't. And you as a reporter will understand this. I think you're very careful. I think most reporters are very careful about words that they use and ways to describe things. Correct? There's context in every story. And very often, it's lost in the tweets from the aggregators, right? They just want a headline. They want the traffic. They want the engagement. They want all that. They don't care that that's not exactly how you presented it.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry for all of us that we have to deal with it. I somewhat feel somewhat better that even you recognize it, because when it happens to me, I lose my mind, but I'm learning how to deal with it. So, I'll work on that some more, as I guess we all will. Let me ask you one more thing here about the draft, essentially, but also sort of the way that information kind of flows. You being a Michigan man, I'm going to use the JJ McCarthy situation as an example. During the season, good quarterback, he's helping lead Michigan to a national championship, but he's not being discussed in the Caleb Williams, Drake Mayer territory at the top of the draft. Jaden Daniels then joins out with his Heisman year. The season ends, and now more information comes out, and now here's J.J. McCarthy being discussed possibly in that top five range. This leads people who have been buying in or believe that he wasn't in that discussion now are losing their mind. They can't understand how this is happening. It must be people putting out lies, trying to manipulate the draft, whatever it might be. How do you kind of see when these things happen? Is it the public catching up to where the league already was? They just didn't know that kind of where it was, or is this truly like new information, do you think, that has led to, in his example, moved up to the degree that he has?
You know, what's interesting is I remember the season ending and I remember seeing a bunch of the mock drafts that are scrolled across the bottom of NFL Network or whatever it may be. And I remember looking for JJ McCarthy's name right when the season ended. It was not in the first round.
Right.
And I also remembered that time, and I had the text receipts. You know, I went back and forth with my Michigan college buddies, about 12 of them, and they were questioning whether Jim Harbaugh was going to go to the NFL. I said, he's going to the NFL. They're like, he may stay. I'm like, he's going to the NFL. Like, stop. Like, give it up. He's going. And then they're like, well, maybe JJ will stay. I'm like, well, he's going too. And they're questioning that. One of them said in the text chain, why would he go when he's going to be a mid-round pick? And I'm like, because he's not going to be a mid-round pick. He's going to be a one. He's not going to be a one. Yes, he is. You want to bet? Yeah, let's bet. And so this led to a dinner bet for the entire text chain where I had JJ McCarthy going in round one and my friend had him going somewhere in round two or beyond. And we bet dinner for the entire group on that particular subject of how high JJ would go. We made this bet in December. So I always thought and felt like JJ was going to be a one. Now I will say this, Ben, he's going even higher than I thought he would. Now we're in, it looks like, at worst, top 11 territory, certainly possibly top 10, maybe top five, right? I would not have guessed top five. I would have guessed one absolutely. I did guess one absolutely. I bet dinner for 12 people on it. But I don't know. I think that people just took a closer look at who the guy is, what he stands for, the talent he has, and maybe they were just a little slower to come around to it. I don't know. I don't know why that happens, but I always felt like watching him. It was a certain thing. Like, you just watch it. It's just the eye test. You can just watch his feet, watch his accuracy. If you've met him and spent time with him, you know the kind of guy that he seems to be. And so I just felt like that's a one. That's a one to me. In a league where everybody's looking for a quarterback, that is a one. And he's going to be a one. We just don't know exactly how high.
Can I just say my favorite part of that story is that this is, I think, universal when your college friends never see you beyond what you were in college, because for somebody to make a football bet with you about what something might happen, it's crazy.
You know what's amazing about that? I remember the day that Jim Harbaugh was getting the job, and I knew that it was getting close in LA, and I was waiting on a couple of texts to verify that it was happening. And in the middle of that, I get this text from one of my friends. Hey, my son, who is at Michigan, was talking to some people, and they think that Harbaugh may be about to sign an extension to stay in Ann Arbor. And I'm like, stop. Like, I'm waiting for a text. Because once one text comes in, then inevitably there's 12 more, 12 more. Hold on. Just get a text. 12 more texts that come, and all of a sudden everybody starts texting, Harbaugh, he's staying. And that's when I said, stop. He's not staying. He's going. And you're annoying me right now because I'm waiting to see if and when they can get this deal done so I can report that he's going to the Chargers. Like, why don't we stop? Like, anyway.
Oh, that's just unbelievable that people would.
I wouldn't question somebody in their respective industry. Like, my friends are all very successful, established, accomplished. They do great jobs. They're highly intelligent. I wouldn't go to somebody in the finance industry and be like, sell this stock right now. Why? Because my son just told me he heard something on the streets of New York City that you should sell it.
I you have no idea how much I appreciate this this from you. Let me swing it back to the Commanders here. The coaching search was obviously a pretty fascinating time forever. As we know, Ben Johnson was being viewed as the guy to come to Washington. And, just from the perspective here, it's a new regime. I'm trying to figure out how to communicate with them. Where do I find information? I'm not hearing anything, really. I'm not hearing Ben Johnson, at least. I'm just hearing generic stuff. And a couple other people felt the same and were saying that out. Then you came out and said, quote, on Pat McAfee's show, quote, I'm not convinced yet that Ben Johnson is getting the Commander's job. I know people have said he's a presumptive favorite, and he may get it. He may very well, etc. But they're definitely looking at other people and kind of we'll see. That drew such a reaction from
just
people,
like,
that
signs pointed that Jaden Daniels drew a reaction.
Right. No, exactly. But I am just curious, what made you at that moment? Because it was only a few days before everything kind of broke down. That I need to say something here to get out in front, because it had certainly gone way too far, it felt like, but I'm not talking to everybody. What made you feel at that moment, there's something here and we need to discuss this?
Again, it's the conversations you're having with people that are in the know. And I knew that while Ben Johnson is a bright coaching prospect, he had a interview in Seattle that was not a slam dunk interview. He had an interview in Washington, was not a slam dunk interview. That he also was hesitant about leaving the nest in Detroit. Like, there were a lot of factors that told me this is not a slam dunk to have happen. And I think a lot of people just assumed Ben Johnson was getting the Washington job. And again, I think it was a leap of faith. Here's a guy that basically backed out on the Panthers last year, didn't want to take the job. How do you know he wants to take the job this year? We don't know that. And based on the people that interviewed him, you know, he doesn't love the media spotlight. He doesn't love that kind of thing. There are some people that shine in that spotlight. Raheem Morris is a master of that. Like, he gravitates to that. He's charismatic and charming. And I don't personally know Ben Johnson, but I know what people have said about him when they've spoken to him. That I don't think that's a setting that he's overly comfortable in. He's a brilliant coach. We're not going to argue any of that. He's one of the top offensive coordinators in the game, maybe the top offensive coordinator in the game. But there's more to being a head coach than just that. And that's something you have to be ready for, want, all those things. And so far, he has not been ready for that in his own mind, which is why he backed out last year and why he backed out again this year, which, again, even if he hadn't backed out, I don't think he was getting Seattle, and I don't know that he was getting Washington.
What was so interesting to me about that, beyond obviously trying to track this down, is so Ben Johnson, as we know, he then subsequently bails on the interview as the team is flying to meet him. And
what do you think of that, Ben?
Not ideal. Not an ideal way to go. I was at the Senior Bowl at that moment, and as soon as the news came down and I confirmed some of it myself, like, that's all anybody was talking about. The players were completely irrelevant, and all anybody could be like, what's going on here? What's happening? Why did this guy do this? It was fascinating.
See, here's what I would say to that. Again, you may not want to take the interview and you may not want to take the job, but you have owners who paid over $6 billion for a team, owners who talk to other owners, owners who are influential, and they're on their way to talk to you and Aaron Glenn. You may say, you know what, I don't want to go. But you know what? We have the plan in place. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to go through the experience. And at the end of the interview, if it's what I think it is, I'm going to say, thank you very much. Really enjoyed meeting with you. Be very respectful of their time. Thank them. Wish them luck. And say, I'm happy staying in Detroit. But he didn't even do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What's so fascinating to me about this is the nature of the information flow, you know, whether it's you here in the NFL or if we're talking with politics. It seemed as if, because the Commanders weren't talking, as far as I can see or recognize, so there was no news coming out. All there was this vague notion of Ben Johnson, and because every day the radio shows, the talk shows, the talking head shows, newspapers, websites, all have to write something. So it's this constant flow of Ben Johnson, Ben Johnson, Ben Johnson. And then when it happens, and then when people like you and I wrote about some of this, say, well, here's how kind of things went in the end, and it didn't look good for him, people get so irate, as if there's, like, because they've been told something this whole time, even though they weren't really being told something.
Well, they can't comprehend what's happening. Based on what? They were being told based on what? A bias that is formed that comes from nowhere.
Yeah, no, 100%. It was very odd to constantly have these conversations locally, and you were obviously having them nationally. But I just think, like I said, from an information flow standpoint, how people consume and digest whatever news it is that they're getting, and the ability to, understand what it is that they're being said, that it isn't always truth. Sometimes it's just notes and information and conjecture. It's not fact, i.e. that headline I read before where it says Adam Schefter says Commanders want Jaden Daniels over Drake May. It is just, I just find that fascinating as a culture as to how we process news.
I think that we are all looking, we form these assumptions in our mind, and that's why there are surprising things, right? Like, I'll go back to the draft when Josh Allen and Josh Rosen and Lamar, what year was that?
18. You
know? Okay. 18 was in Dallas. And, it's one of my favorite stories to tell because it's unbelievable. I remember being on the way to LaGuardia Airport Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. I'm on the phone with a front office executive, and he's like, you are aware that Baker Mayfield may go number one, right? Nobody had mentioned Baker Mayfield number one. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, let me just double check a couple of things. And I follow a story at ESPN that Baker Mayfield is in consideration to become the number one pick Thursday night for the Cleveland Browns. And I go on Get Up and I go on SportsCenter and I fly to Dallas and I land. And I remember being on the plane and my father texts me, my father, hey, did you hear this story about Baker Mayfield going to the Browns? I'm like, yeah, I reported it. And he goes, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And I thought, even my own father is questioning the credibility and validity of a story that originated at ESPN with me. And so people couldn't believe it. I landed. I go on NFL Live. I'll never forget the host, the analyst. I'm not going to use their names, but it's a great clip. They call me on the air. I give my report. Brown's considering it. Made the decision. We don't know who it is. But Baker Mayfield has been square in the conversation, and we'll find out Thursday night whether he goes. A little context, Ben. A little care with words. And they come out of my report, and the host goes to the analyst, what do you think? And the analyst goes, not happening. Loose lips sink ships. This wouldn't come out the week of the draft. Don't believe it. It's hogwash. And the host goes, absolutely. That's what I thought, too. And so they have me on, and they dismiss the report. Flat out. Just like my dad.
That's incredibly frustrating for you, but it just blows my mind on this end. Adam, because I'm appreciative of your time, I just have one last question for you. Just to go back to the fun of the draft. If we're kind of going with right now, Caleb 1 and Jaden 2, what's another pick and another player that you would say, I'm pretty confident this one, there's going to be a marriage. This player, this pick, anywhere in the draft, 3 through 220, whatever it is, what's one that you feel pretty good about from what you've heard?
Don't have one yet. And I'm not going to give you a headline here, Ben, where Adam Schefter's reporting that player X is going to team Y. You know, if I said that, you know, which is what happens in this day and age, right? Like I said, if I said to you, oh boy, I see Malik Nabers going to the Giants at 6, which could happen. It could very well get to happen. Oh, Schefter says Malik Nabers is going 6. So,
well, what's your best guess that it gets saved New England? Because obviously if Washington goes, Daniels and New England's the next pivot point, and there's been a lot of talk.
My guess today, and we'll see if it turns out to be my guess would be guess. I'm guessing, right? We're shooting the breeze. We're speculating 15 days out of the draft, 15 days out of the draft, right? I want to be very clear with all these prefaces and addendums in advance. But I would say my guess today, if I was filling out my mock draft, which I don't do on purpose, it would be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, 1, 2, 3. Let's see if it turns out to be right. I don't know. We'll find out.
We will. And we'll follow you along the way on X on ESPN. Adam, I greatly appreciate your time, and I appreciate your frustration over all the ways that the communication gets mucked up out there.
Now really, that'll be a headline, right? Now that's going to be a headline.
I really appreciate
it. But by the way, if it is, let's be very clear. It is not just me. It is universal amongst reporters.
Oh, it's one of my number one topics that I have with all my colleagues. It's that it drives us all crazy.
There you go.
Adam, I really appreciate it again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for the confirmation, Ben.
All right. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, I don't have this on video, but it was fun watching Adam show his annoyance, as I have done many times here on the podcast, with regards to the way the information conversation that goes out there, that we do the best we can to put out the proper information with the proper context and the proper wording. And then when it gets into the game of telephone, i.e. aggregation, things can go awry. And I'm not wishing pain on Adam or anybody else, but to see the guy who is, you know, essentially at the top of that food chain also be incredibly annoyed with these situations, I'm going to feel a little bit better. I'm not going to lie. But good information, of course, from Adam. And, you know, this is still a guessing game. There are some times where it's a little more obvious. Caleb Williams is certainly feels like that's the case, right? And even with the Commanders over the years, you know, RG3 was not the first pick. He was the second pick, but we all knew, right, that that was going to happen. You know, even in, say, you know, in 2019, we all felt pretty confident, I think, that like Dwayne Haskins was going to get picked by Washington in the first round. And there were obvious factors there because of the Dan Snyder connection and his family's connection with Dwayne and so on. Rest in peace. But here they're picking 2, and it still feels very wide open. Adam shared why he thinks the signs are pointing to Jaden Daniels. He asked me to do the same, and I sputtered out something. I think I said something. I don't know what I said. I wasn't expecting him to ask me a question, but I appreciate it. So there we go. So, I mean, one thing I neglected to mention to him, but was that I've had Jaden Daniels at Washington 2 now for over a month in various Commanders only mock drafts, our beat writer mock draft, the first round one I did for The Athletic, which of course you can go check out all those I just said. And it's, you know, like I said, it's not based on source X said it's Daniels. It's taking all the information that you have and trying to do the best you can to, you know, narrow it down to figure out what makes sense and what doesn't. And that's, for me at least, how to this point I've gotten to the idea of Jaden Daniels. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Are we really going to get to Wednesday night or even Thursday morning or even till the moment Roger Goodell is standing up there on the stage and saying, and with the second pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Washington Commanders pick, and that's when we find out? I would suspect we'll have it before then, at least to some degree, but, you know, we will see how that goes. More time to speculate for sure. And of course, you know, the draft is beyond the number two pick. I do think there's going to be a lot of interesting choices for Washington there in that top of the second round, whether they stay at 36 and 40, whether they trade up. By the way, I should mention, I meant to earlier, our guy Dane Brugler, our NFL draft analyst, put out his NFL draft guide, appropriately nicknamed The Beast. If you haven't seen this yet, when somebody says one specific item is worth the price of the subscription, this is that example. I saw David Aldridge today tweeted out, all of us are tweeting out or retweeting links to this, to Dane's draft guide. And David Aldridge says, this is my annual, I know I work hard, but, you know, good Lord, this is insane. The product that Dane puts out, hundreds of pages in incredible in-depth detail on these prospects, not just as like, hey, you know, the quarterback can throw the ball, all, you know, can throw a really nice out pattern, or he's got great feel for recognizing defenses, but it's all the way down to like very minute details about growing up and their family life and what their 4 years were like at whatever school or schools they went to. It's really fascinating, and I encourage everyone to take a look at it for sure. In terms of the quarterbacks, I will just say Dane has Caleb Williams 1. He has Drake May 2, and he has Jaden Daniels 3. Now, he doesn't have tiers, and I believe it's Williams is his number one overall prospect, Drake May 4, Caleb Williams 8. But what I'm takeaway is that they are the only three that Dane has listed as a first round grade for him. Everybody else, starting with JJ McCarthy, like in his case, it's like a first or a second round grade. He has McCarthy number 21, and then Bo Nix and Michael Penix after that. What is interesting is to try to get as much of that data to figure out and see, where do people see these quarterbacks? It's not enough just to say Daniels 2, May 3, or the opposite, or McCarthy 4. What's the gap? That's part of what I think my poll is going to help show, because I had, in having these people rank the players, assigned a point system to that. Thus, it's not just an order, but it does essentially show the tiers and how people see it. So Dane's very good at what he does. He has been one of those people that has been very consistent about liking Drake May. I've mentioned before that this outside-inside difference, where the outside public evaluators seem to like Drake May more than Daniels or McCarthy, and the people in the league, more part of the league apparatus, seem to favor Daniels, and then the McCarthy part seems to get pushed up a little bit as well. So interesting to see there, for sure. And, you know, look, again, they have so many more. I mean, Dane has hundreds and hundreds of players discussed in this draft guide. One thing that stood out to me, just as a quick mention for the Commanders, we have discussed plenty about, hey, they've got to get a tackle, an offensive tackle. This is viewed as a very good year for offensive tackles. However, at 36, it's possible that they miss out on the best prospects. Like there's like 7 to 9 of these offensive linemen that could be picked, if not in the first round, around, you know, be off the board by the time, you know, around the time of when the Commanders pick. One of them is Jordan Morgan. He was the left tackle for the Arizona Wildcats for the past 3 years. He is like sort of viewed as like that the last one typically of that group. There's a kid, the BYU kid as well, but he's more like a second round pick. But that's viewing him as a tackle. And looking at Dane, Dane has him as a guard, the number two guard on the board. That's notable for a few reasons. As we know, Washington in 2015 drafts Brandon Scherff 5th overall as a tackle, quickly move him to guard. In 2021, they draft Sam Cosmi as a tackle. Soon thereafter, move him to guard. Both are obviously very good players. I mean, Brandon Scherff, you know, multi-time Pro Bowler. Sam Cosmi had a very good year last year. He's clearly, I would say, the lead offensive lineman at this point. I guess you have Tyler Biadasz now at center. So is Jordan Morgan the next version of this? Now, the Commanders could use a left guard to an extent, right? They did sign Nick Allegretti, but he was back. He was the backup at Kansas City. He said he just wants a chance to start. Maybe he gets it one way or the other, but it's not like they were like locked into a fixture here at left guard as well. So taking a guy like Morgan, let's just say it's at 36, maybe he is more guard than tackle, and that would still leave the question about what happens at tackle. But I'm just saying if they in fact view him like Dane does as a guard, then that's one more tackle off the board, or that, you know, that's not off the board, but one less tackle to choose from. And when we're already saying, hey, how many tackles are going to be there? Will they need to trade back into the first round for a second first round pick? Now, the issue is not just not getting somebody from that higher tiers, but when you look at the list behind Morgan, it thins out pretty quick. There's not a ton of guys. Patrick Paul, the brother of guard Chris Paul here. I mean, the Commander's guard, Chris Paul. You know, he's a name you see mentioned somewhere in second round, maybe third round. But even then, even if that's assuming that the Commanders would view him as being worthy of that 36 to 40 range and that other teams don't jump them, or, you know, what if there are better players on the board, edge rushers, cornerbacks, receiver, whatever, are you going to force the pick? So I think this is almost becoming more interesting for me than the pick at number two, even though quarterbacks rule the world. But how is Washington going to maneuver there? Stay put, take the best players available, jump up to do their best to lock in to an offensive tackle. Could even do the opposite. If they say, hey, you know what? We don't really love what's here, but other teams are interested. Let's trade down, get more picks, both for this year and next year. You know, I think all of that could be really interesting. So that's something to keep in mind. And when I saw that Dane had him as a guard, I just thought to myself, you know what? Let's make a note of that, because if the Commanders agree, then that is one fewer tackle available for any of the teams, but notably the one that we talk about, the Washington Commanders. All right. Enough out of me. Thanks so much to Adam Schefter for his time. Thanks to everyone here for checking out the podcast. And of course, subscribing and reading along The Athletic again on Thursday. The plan, I'm going to knock on wood, is that there will be a new story up of folks around the league, various sources giving us their view of these quarterbacks that we have been talking about for weeks, and we'll do so for a bit more for sure. But that is it for now. Ben Standick signing off. Until next time.